Hello, friends. Welcome to the C3 podcast. I'm your host and co-creator, Myron Isaiah Bryant. Thank you for taking the time to listen and being a part of our community. At its core, C3 exists to create a safe space for us all to be humans first, learn from each other's professional and life experiences, and choose to co-create a healthy community of betterment. I'm excited for today's conversation with our guest. And with that, let's dive into the episode. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the C3 podcast with Myron Bryant. I'm super excited today to connect with one of my close friends, Tiffany Spencer, and learn about her journey through tech and a bunch of different experience now leading a tech event and tech organization, and the lessons and values she's picked up along the way. Without further ado, good morning. Hello, Tiffany. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for joining us this morning.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. And just as we started talking about, you've had a very diverse career in tech for a while. You know, one of the things we always say on this podcast is like, people almost fall into tech. It's very rare that people kind of target it and kind of go along that path. But you're one of the few people I think who's really been intentional with that, right? From your background and degree to the different roles you've had across your career, like it's always built on these different perspectives to provide more value for customers and technicalities in the space there. But before we hop into just all the career jargon, right? I'm always curious of the human aspect of this podcast, right? It's very much a human first conversation. So with that, you know, let us know, who is Tiffany as a person?
Yeah, so I am from Cincinnati, Ohio. I grew up there and then transitioned to Florida, where I went to Bethune-Cookman University. I majored in computer information systems. So I lived in Florida for a number of years, in North Carolina, and then finally back here in Atlanta, Georgia. And so after college, I worked for the government and the space industry for a few years, then left there and have worked a variety of different tech roles as a configuration analyst and a business analyst before getting into tech, working with a CRM platform that I've been doing for the past maybe 15 or so years. And so through that, I have been a business analyst, a consultant. I've started my own nonprofit, a workforce development organization. I've started two consulting companies. I'm married. My husband is also, he works in tech. And so I do quite a bit. That's a little bit of a snapshot, I guess.
And that is quite a bit, right? I know when we first started connecting, I was like, Tiffany, you have so much that you're juggling there, right? From, as you mentioned, like the tech roles, the nonprofits, traveling, you know, giving back to the community there. We both, you know, connected in Orlando for Bot Black Orlando Tech there. So you are truly, I believe, a superwoman. Like, I don't know how you find the time and manage everything. And one of the people I most admire from everything you're able to juggle while also find the space and time to give back to others and fill your own cup. So just thank you for everything that you've done and continue to do there.
Thanks. It's quite the time. Now
I wonder how you find the time of the day. I truly do. From your experience, you talked about everything from going to Bethune. So as I mentioned, another person from Florida here, definitely recognize that. And then, transitioning into tech and doing different things there. You've done a lot and kind of anchoring again on that human experience. You know, C3 podcast stands for clarity, connection, and co-creation. Those have been my values throughout my diverse career. But I would like to bring up the space of, hey, what are the values of others we're connecting with? So when you think about your career and the values that have been valuable for you, what are those values?
Yeah, so the values that I really bring into most of what I do are mostly around service. I grew up Catholic, and so I went to a private high school. And one of the things that we did a lot of in high school and even in college, there's always this idea of service, right? Yeah. Bethune-Cookman. Our the model is enter to learn, depart to serve. I have done a lot of volunteer activities over the years, a lot of mentoring. And so this idea of being able to be of service yeah. in various areas has always been something that that I've kept with me throughout the years. And so even right, a lot of the, most of the things I do right now have some aspect of service and giving back. And I think that's a really very much a core value.
Yeah. And I think that shows exactly as we talked about with your event, with, you know, Black Orlando Tech, everything you're doing in the community there is that service just kind of shows in every layer. Does that show within your leadership capabilities? Well, I know people talk a lot about, you know, the service leadership component. And again, you are a founder, you've started multiple companies here. Does that blend into your leadership style as well?
Yeah, I think as a leader, I try to, it's hard as a leader. So one of the things I try to do is put myself in the shoes of the people that I'm working with. Yeah. And was easy in the space that I'm in because I have been a consultant. And so yep. I know what that's like. And in my role, I do a lot of, well, let's do it together. And a lot of collaboration. And, you know, I try to model that kind of cooperation that's needed and empathy that's needed, not only with my employees, but also with our customers, right? So being able to put yourself in the thought process of your customer, how are they feeling? What are they thinking about? I think being able to, that aspect of service kind of leads you to have more empathy, and having more empathy yeah. happens to model that in my role in leadership is what I try to do.
Yeah. I love that. I mean, again, things like that service component, things like empathy, those are just human things, right? That we all anchor on. So no matter what role you're in, that's, I don't want to say a skill, but that's a component. That's a value that we can carry. It allows us to be of that much more service, of that much more impact to those around us. And you mentioned as well, starting at Bethune there, right? And, you know, that being HBCU, I know there's a lot in tech about recruiting and getting more diversity within tech. And obviously your event is a great example of kind of making that way possible. I was just talking with Mike Felix a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about, I'm not sure if you've heard his story about how he actually got recruited to UCF, which is an amazing story. It was almost by accident, as he said there. But the point of me bringing that up is like, for us, like people of color, for people who come from diverse backgrounds, so often we don't even know what's possible. So right. This is why I love your event and everything that you're doing in terms of just letting people know, hey, this is a route. You have more things available to you than you want there. So is that a component of why you started that event there, is just to let people know that this is a possibility and that this is something that you can consider?
Part of the reason for the event is really for me about opportunity, exposure, yeah. networking, yeah. connection. When you mentioned from an HBCU perspective, our students, them being able to be exposed to understand the opportunity. You know, people talk about, you know, doors being open. Well, if you don't know the door is there, how do you know that you should want it open, right? And so the thought for me is to make sure they understand all the opportunities, the exposure, so that they understand where the doors are, right? Yeah. And so it's being able to even put in that spark of possibility in people, not just students, but people in their careers. I, over the years, have met many people that are just, you know, they learn a platform, they're working in that space and don't understand where they want to go, where they can yeah. go. What are the options? How much money can I make in this space? How do yeah. I, you know, transition? What's the strategy? And so for me, it's to be able to put people in a place where they feel comfortable to have that conversation, because so many times you're in a space where you don't feel comfortable enough to ask those questions, to go up yeah. to people. You're not seeing people that are in more senior levels. And so at my event, I'm able to bring not only just tech professionals, but directors, entrepreneurs, vice presidents, right? And so now it's different because now you're seeing all the people and you're like, okay, wait, that's an option? Okay, how do I do that? What did you do? How did you get there? Tell me more. And so then all of those things together come together and create this really special space where people really are inspired and then they want to take action. And that's the kind of spark and things that I like to create.
That's amazing. I think everything you just mentioned resonates, right? As everyone talks about those doors, and a lot of times those doors are there, but we just don't know it, right? And the door could be open, could be closed. It's a whole other conversation or next step, right? But do we even know where we want to go there? That's a part of what your event really creates for people, whether they're in, you know, graduating college or even, you know, in tech or in the career for a while there. Talking about you transitioning into tech, we started off by saying that a lot of people kind of fall into tech or, you know, just kind of end up here and their career can take off once they're in tech. I think from your background, it seems like you were really intentional about it, right? You graduated with a computer degree, right? And started working in tech. What let you know that tech was your route, right? Because in the realm of possibility as well for maybe some of our younger listeners who are in college and saying, hey, I don't know if I want to do, you know, mechanical engineering. I was an ME in college, right? Or computer science, or I want to go marketing, or I want to go, you know, whatever it is. What was it about tech that Tiffany saw was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I want to major in it. This is where I really want to spend my career.
Yeah, I've always been interested in technology, not hardcore tech, as I would like to call it, like engineering and not necessarily even coding, but I like technology. And so when I was younger, one of the things that are important is are the program. So I was in a program in Cincinnati in high school where they paid us to go through some sort of curriculum programming over the summer. And in one of those camps, you got to take apart a computer. Like you took apart like the actual, you know, like your desktop computer. You had to take it apart, you know, pull out the motherboard, take out the little components, and then put it back together. And that was really cool to me. Like I was not bored. I don't think I did anything super technical after that, but that part, I remember taking apart that computer. I remember in that program, we had to put together a clock. Do you remember there was like circuit kits where you had to solve the room and put together a clock? So that was really fun. And in general, I like computer games. So I remember playing the computer games and I took a keyboarding class. So again, not super techie. Like I didn't build a computer after that, but I did like technology. And so there was really nothing else that I even considered when I started on a business.
I'd say it's worked out pretty well for you. And it was a good choice. I think a number of people would validate that. It's funny you mentioned like taking part of the computer. Like so many people in tech have that same story to some degree of like this almost existential discovery of like, oh my God, this is complex thing that we all use every day, but I don't know how it works. And then you sometimes break it. Is how people sell that story starts. Either it's like very intentional, hey, we're going to take this apart. Or sometimes people break it like, oh, I'm just going to try to fix it. And like, you're kind of figuring your way around this thing, discovering what it's like. It's like, wow, this actually makes sense to me. And I don't know everything about it, but there's something that's attracted me to just this process of engaging with this thing there. I just love those stories of people kind of getting that spark of like, wait, like I kind of like working with things I don't fully understand, but I understand as I engage with them.
Yeah, it's just really cool. I have no idea exactly where the spark was, but I like computers. Even in college, when I was trying to decide on like a role, I have no idea. I was like reading all these roles, not even understanding what they were. I was looking at stuff like architecture, engineer, I don't know, system engineer. I had no idea what any of those things meant.
Yeah. Oh God, we could talk about that for days. The human part of this podcast is kind of distilling that, right? I think like we hear all these roles and these titles and even, you know, a lot of times we talk about sales, right? Of like sales has different, myths about it. But at the end of the day, no matter what the title is, like, we all solve problems. Even you as like a founder, like, we're just solving problems. And we do that by way of different methodologies or skill sets. But really, I see from people that are, you know, typically most successful, like, they anchor on the values that you're talking about, whether it's empathy or service or whatever values are they hold true and authentic to themselves. But they know that they use those values to and skill sets to then solve problems there. So I was always similar to you graduating college, like, oh my God, there's all these like different roles. Like, I kind of was between going the ME route because I had different experiences there, and then also going the sales route. I was like, you know what, I'm going to take a chance on sales, and it's been really helpful. Obviously, landed in tech with that. In terms of your,
go ahead.
Go for it. Sorry about that.
Well, no, I was going to say, I had no idea what those roles meant. The one thing that I knew is that I liked applications, right? So when I started to break down sort of what the roles meant, what I thought they meant, I knew that I liked the application part of it. I didn't want to do the computer networking or support part. I didn't want to do the coding part. And so just this understanding of applications and helping people to learn how to leverage applications for efficiency and processes, that was one part that I knew that I liked that. And what was that called? And so I think that might help go into your next question, but that is the one thing I figured out.
No, that's important. I think it's, you figured out that you like the process, you like the application, and kind of to your point goes to the next question of, as you're building this career where today, you know, Tiffany's a founder of, you know, multiple tech organizations, you know, has a tech event. What were some of the early lessons that you learned, you know, even as you talk about NASA, you, when you graduated or interning there, and at some point you've been an admin, at some point you've been an analyst, you've had these different roles that have built to who you are today. What were some of the early lessons that you learned from those initial roles in your career?
Some of the initial lessons that I learned is one that in the tech role, or at least from my experience, I didn't realize how important the human part of the job is. And so really needing to work on communication skills, leadership skills, you know, people skills was really important. And I don't think that I'm not a people person, but being able to understand corporate environment, being able to understand personalities, and even learning, you know, just really understanding how important that is, I think is something that is not taught enough in school. You know, some people just naturally can, you know, learn some of these skills, or they're naturally good at those skills. And I talk a lot to students, you know, trying to make sure that they understand, and even professionals, right? And so I talk to a lot of tech professionals that are really, they're really struggling to understand where they're missing a mark in the corporate space. They're really trying to understand why they're not getting to where they want to go, not understanding that there's a big part of corporate culture that you're missing when that's not part of your strategy and when that's not part of your development plan. And so going through that without a mentor, without having someone be like, hey, Tiff, I think you might want to, you know, work on your communication a little bit, I think was something I wish I had learned earlier.
It's so important. At times, one, you mentioned mentors, right? I don't think any of us would kind of be where we're at without having those people pull us aside or kind of take us under their wing and start to like develop us and invest in us. And many of my mentors have been on this podcast or will be, right? But it's so important because to your point about the word corporate culture, I remember when I first joined like corporate, it almost felt like a different language. It's funny, even I think for us now, we're in our part of career, we can start to mentor other people. We have other mentees. One of the things I always do is like, if we watch like a call or something, I'm like, hey, what did you hear from that? It is interesting hearing like what they resonate with and what sticks out to them versus maybe people who've been in it for a while. And I remember myself as a mentee and my mentor to say like, what did you hear from that call? And it's like, okay, it's kind of dissecting what certain language means. So it's so important to have those people guide you around the corporate language.
I'm so bad at that. Like reading a word, like it's like having to take a step back and you're like watching, like,
yeah,
who's saying what, who's being like trying to understand, like, did you hear that little comment? Did you see her face? Did you?
It's all those little small things.
Yeah. And you know what? People don't know to do that.
You have to do it.
I've had conversations with people where they're frustrated. And I'm like, do you know how you're coming off? Do you know what you're saying? Yeah. Do you know how to navigate a situation? I just had this conversation with a mentee of mine. She was interning at a company. She did some presentation. Something happened where, you know, and I don't know how much of this is truth, where from her perspective, someone presented her work as theirs. You know, she was told her idea wasn't valid. Apparently some part of it was valid. Yeah. Whatever the situation, right? Corporate stuff. But her response to it, I told her was not the right response.
Yeah.
You know, and she was really not happy with me about that because she's like, but I was wronged. And I said, I get that. But what you didn't know is that sometimes you have to learn how much information to give, how to protect your work, how to follow up. These are strategies, right? Yep. And so if you want to play the game, you have to know the rules. Yep. And so I talk a lot to people about making sure you understand the rules. If you're trying to win this game, these are the rules. Yep. And so, and every company has its own rules. And you have to read the room, go in and assess people, understand how the hierarchy works, the structure works, where the power is in your role, in your company, in your department, if that's what you want to do. But don't, you know, it's a hard conversation to have around why isn't this fair?
Yeah. Yeah.
We talk about that all day.
we really can. It's such a... One of the reasons I started this, I've said this before on previous episodes, is a book from Daniel Pink called "To Sell as Human." And it just talks about how we're all selling, whether you're a teacher, you're a doctor, we're all solving problems and helping people, right? What's interesting about that is Daniel isn't a salesperson. He's actually a politician, if you look at his background. And I say that to say that, like, exactly what you just mentioned, right? Going into a room, there's people there. You may not know everyone there. The more you progress in this human aspect of life, you understand you have to know the people that are going to be in that room. If you're trying to convince, if you're trying to move people and share ideas and change perspectives, whether you call it selling or just presenting, you have to be knowledgeable about, as you said, the culture of that organization, right? And you have to be knowledgeable about each person there because you're looking for counting votes of every person there. So it's such an important thing to be mindful of. And obviously sales comes up with it all the time. Consulting as well, right? Comes up with it all the time, but it definitely is a skill that can be overlooked. And I guarantee once you have some of these types of life experiences, you're like, wait a second, this is how I start to change and influence in a positive direction there.
Yeah, it's a skill that can be overlooked. And sometimes people feel as though it's a skill that maybe they just don't have. Maybe they're just not meant for this space. But these are things that can be learned, you know, and excel in some of these areas is what makes good politicians and is what makes good salespeople. I don't consider myself a salesperson. I can sell, but some of the other aspects of being a sales leader, or, you know, in a independent sales role, I probably would not be good at. But there are aspects as a leader, as a CEO that I have learned. You know, sales is a big part of what I do. But I was able to see someone do that and learn. And so I think that's important for people to understand that there are areas that you can assess and you should assess within yourself to see where you're doing good, where you're not, where you can improve. And not, you know, you don't have to be good at everything, but just understanding where you're short, where you're falling a little behind, and being able to build up enough capital to overcome that, I think is important.
You mentioned a couple of things that I'd like to double click on is self-awareness, right? That is, I think that's a superpower within itself, right? Like just being aware of where you're at in life, professionally and personally. I talk about myself going to therapy for 6 or 7 years and out here as well. Like you have to be aware of where you're at, what you're struggling with, what you're strong with, and then being able to invest in yourself for that, right? Whether it be through mentors and finding a guide at that company. You know, a lot of organizations have education reimbursements, right? That can be put on an actual degree, a certification. Sometimes they even have very specific, enablements that you can go for. Like that is so important. That's completely changed my career, even as a salesperson, because I don't think I was naturally gifted either, right? I had to invest. I was interested in kind of like uncovering that computer and knowing, okay, I kind of like this. Like I had to invest in that. So that self-awareness, that, you know, connection and mentors, that willingness to invest in yourself, especially if you get free, right, money from the organization you're working with, those things are so, so important. You mentioned, go for it. Sorry about that.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, the other thing I mentioned to people too, that I think is important is, to have that development, that personal development budget, learning and development, even if your company doesn't have one, you should still have one of your own. And sometimes even now with the way budgets are, you know, you can't, it would behoove you to not, to not delay your personal development because your job won't pay for it.
Yep.
Because sometimes they the budget's not there. It's not part of their objectives, but it could be part of your objectives. And so it's important to always have a conference budget, a development budget. You know, when I became, when I first started my company and I realized, like, oh, shoot, you know, I'm responsible for people's salaries. I invested in an executive coach, and that was not cheap. It was not on my list of things to pay for, but it was necessary knowing that I needed to be better because I was responsible for more people and I wanted to be better. And, you know, shame on me for not doing that earlier, for not, you know, investing in more conferences and more books and more classes and more certifications earlier, because there are skills that I could have learned before that now I'm having to learn and realize how important they are because I was not intentional about working on myself.
Yeah. It's incredibly important. We can talk about the development all day because it's been life-changing for me, frankly, right? Again, you mentioned the mentors, you mentioned the guide, the ability to have different conversations and translate them in corporate. But to your point, you know, I joined the tech company I work at now, kind of inside sales, took a little bit of a route to learn the business there across success, you know, post-sales, and then even solution engineering, you know, pre-sales there. I kind of had a chip on my shoulder knowing I wanted to come back as a sales account executive there. So at that time, I was like, I've learned all these different things. I have to make sure I hit this out of the park as account executive or AE, as you hear in tech. So at that point is when I finally invested in myself. And to your point, it wasn't cheap. Right, there's a little bit of privilege I had to be able to invest at that much in a sales coach. And it absolutely allowed me to be, you know, top of the dash for the next couple of years as an AE there. But I always tell that story to say, like, I came out of pocket myself for that. Eventually, the company did sponsor it, as you mentioned, right? Eventually, did get approved. But I did that betting on myself. And I think that perspective is so important for people, right? Of, hey, you can invest in a bunch of things. Obviously, people talk about real estate or they talk about stock markets, all these different things. But the ultimate investment always is going to be yourself because you know you can always do it, right? I'm sure you leaving that executive coaching engagement, right? You always feel like, no matter what I do next, Tiffany now knows this, and I have confidence that I can do it again, whether it's here or this organization or this organization. And that type of confidence is just invaluable.
Exactly. So valuable.
In terms of another value you mentioned is empathy, right? So what I really like about your journey is that you've been, you know, a tech admin and you've been a tech analyst, right? and now you obviously are a founder or a leader at a tech company. How important is that experience, that empathy you're able to bring to say, hey, I've been in your shoes. I'm not just saying this because I've read the paper and know the pros and cons and things like that. Like, I felt the pains, the challenges, the goals that you feel as you're talking to customers and as you're being a leader now.
Yeah. So when you look at my nonprofit, which helps people get started in tech and get exposed to tech, and then we're looking at the consulting company where I'm helping customers learn tech and then giving opportunities to people to get their first kind of role in tech. A lot of what I am thinking about and a lot of the process improvements that I do and the road mapping is because I have walked those steps. And so when I'm looking at the industry, when I'm looking at the concerns that people have, it's helping me. It helps a couple different ways. One, I'm able to push people a little bit more. I'm able to think about resources and look at their challenges and ideate on different ways to help them overcome these roadblocks. And then I can also push people a little bit more past those roadblocks and say, I know that this seems like a lot, but it's really not. I need you to walk around this.
Yep.
and so, like, I know it's a hard conversation for some people. And I know that it can, sometimes when people see a roadblock in front of them, it feels so big.
Yeah.
And part of the part of what we've gone through the past couple of years is a little bit more of isolation. And when people have been in isolation, they start to feel as though their problems are so unique to them. Yeah. And one of the things that I have been able to try to do, and I'm working on doing more of, is helping people to understand that some of these issues are not unique. They're very common.
Yep.
Now, if we would open up and be transparent a little bit more, we would know that they were more common. But we're so isolated, we're so inward, some of us, that these things are continuing to hold us back. And so even with my customers, I have customers that are really tied to a certain way of working. They're used to seeing things a certain way. It's really hard to take a step back. And so being able to try to say, listen, I have a nonprofit. My data is a mess too. But listen, but I know it's a mess. I know what's not working. I know where I need to go. That's really being able to relate and tell them my story and what I was able to do and other people's stories, but also continue to figure out how do I make this easier? Because it's not one or the other, right? I try to listen to people, understand where they are, tell them that they can do it. And then at the same time, continue to create processes and resources to make the entire process better, because it's not one or the other. And so there's some empathy in there, some heart, some tough love in there, some hard conversations. But it gives me the authority to do so, right? Because I've done both. I'm relating to you. I'm trying to give you more tools, and then we're gonna have the real conversation.
I love it. It's so important, right? To be able to have those real conversations. And what you said towards the beginning of that response was, hey, like, this is what they're feeling. And that's what can often be missed. And similar to what we talked about with the career perspective, right? If, like, you're not aware of that human element of not just the tech, of not just the process that's wrong, of not just the data that's wrong, but like, hey, this person is feeling isolated. This person feels like, hey, we've been doing it for a while. It's not great, but, you know, I also have fear of changing, for like a better word, because I can mess something up. Right. And that could be another kind of strike on me there. Or, hey, I feel like what I'm experiencing is very isolated. It's very unique to me there. Like, those are things that I think great consultants, great salespeople, great just humans, you know, identify and overcome and have conversations about, frankly, about, you know, you're not alone. You know, we've seen it before. We understand how you feel. These are some of the steps you can take there. We want to co-create that with you. And those types of conversations are ones that really make a big difference. Because even in tech, I always make the joke, you see customers that have all the right solutions, but it's maybe not getting them the ROI that they want to. And whenever you have the right technology without the right ROI, a lot of times there's a human element that may be missed, yep. or buy-in or process of that, right?
Yep.
So it's not just about flipping the switch or sending the right tech thing. You have to understand who and why and that buy-in to actually get that success.
Yeah, I'm going through that right now in a few places because that human element of it is so strong where people are afraid of change.
Yep.
They are, you know, if they do it wrong, they feel like it's a blight on them, right? Yep. And I tell people
personally.
Personally.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if I do this wrong, they feel so bad, that fear of failure. And when you are implementing new technology, when you're in a tech role and you're in the tech industry, failure is a thing. Like you just, you have to keep rolling. You have to get used to it. I tell people all the time, try, fail, adjust, you know, try it. It didn't work. Let's do something else. You know, and that's actually the power of technology. The point is to do it, see if it works. Let's make some changes. Let's keep it moving. Like we don't have to stay here. That's the beauty of these platforms is that they can be changed and updated and configured and modified quickly. But again, like you said, it's the people part of it that people are not there. People are not ready to change or to fail or to say that, I know I told you this, but actually I don't like that anymore. I know I said I wanted the report that way, but actually I don't, right? Yeah. Because it feels like a failure. Yeah. And having to help people remove that feeling, that emotion that's tied, that heavy emotion that's tied to them feeling like they have failed at something, when it's really just all part of the process. We're all failing at something all the time, every day, or you're really not doing anything. What are you doing if you're not failing at something, if you're not learning, you know? And so this idea that things have to be perfect and that unless it's perfect, we can't move is something that I'm struggling with even helping people to move past that because I'm beyond that at this point. I'm like, it's fine. Well, we'll fix it later. Yeah. It's fine. but helping other people get there is really tough.
We have to have another episode on just change because this is, again, the human and corporate speak. Corporate, what we just described, is called change management. When I joined corporate, I had no idea what that word meant. Like, what do you mean change management? Human, what we described, is exactly what you just mentioned, right? It's, hey, I'm afraid of change because I'm afraid that personally it will make me look bad. It would make me seem untrustworthy, whatever it is. Like, I just don't want this to come back on me because I made the decision and it didn't turn out how we wanted it to be. Earlier, we mentioned The Cell as Human. It's one of my favorite books that helped my career. Two of the ones I always talk about is Business Model Canvas, worked at a Lean Startup methodology, Blackstone Launchpadding in college, which really helped me kind of get into sales there. So Business Model Canvas is super helpful. But Lean Startup methodology, like Lean Startup book, oh my God. If you are in tech, you haven't read Lean Startup, I will almost pay out of my own pocket to buy you the book. Like I might just like mass send that out to people because exactly what we just talked about, right? Like fail fast. And it's not even just fail, but it's this idea of testing, right? Like, especially if you're a startup, like before you spend all your money on this idea, this is why like landing pages became big for people, right? Because even before they even have the thing built, you start to sell it because you wanted to see if there was a market for it. And you validate that what you're building, you're spending all this time, money, resources on is going to be helpful. But that's just not startup. That's any aspect of tech. How can we quickly test this, right? And that goes to things even with methodologies, right? As you talk about Scrum and sprints and just lean, you know, types of deployments for tech. How can we test it quickly, get some feedback? It may work, it may not. We don't care if it does or not. We just need to test it and move from there. I can talk about change management and Lean Startup all day. Like I adore it. And it's a critical piece that gets us out of our own minds and our own fears and our old pride. It's like, this is a part of the process of what we do.
Mm-hmm. And how valuable, again, those principles are at work, in your life, and everything is holding people back from moving, from trying.
Yeah, right? It is.
Like years, months of not being able to get over yourself because your fear of of failing when you could, who cares?
Yeah.
I tell people all the time, like, nobody knows how many times you took the cert. Who cares if you failed 3 times? Nobody knows. Yeah. It's not written on there. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. And when you do actually become successful, these are great stories.
They're amazing stories. Right. They're great stories. I mean,
amazing.
I've mentored or met people that that had learning disabilities and were really, you know, insecure about it and took and failed and had a hard time struggling getting certifications, but are thriving. Walk past people that appear to be doing well, right? And so it's this idea of everybody's journey is different. Like, you can get inspired by people, but they should not be a measuring stick, because you can't, somebody could, again, be thriving today and you can be ahead of them tomorrow. It does not, you cannot predict that. It's good to learn, to see what they did, to see if there's anything you can get from it, but it's not a measuring stick. And so
I almost cried. It's like, it's not, especially in tech, right? It's so easy to see these like huge, again, startups were getting all these unicorn money funds, all that type of stuff, like of investments. Like, that was a measuring stick. And there's no one you're comparing yourself to beyond yourself, one. And then two, to your point, that human element of kind of letting go of that pride, eventually you see that failure of not even just a failure. Like, it's you accept it as part of the process, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to learn something, and it's not even just failure. It's like, hey, I tried something, I learned, and I got better. And now, because I can own that, whenever I'm empathy talking with others that are in similar situations, whether they're trying it themselves or afraid to try it, I can say, hey, I tried it and failed. This is what I learned. This de-risk this for you, and now you'll be better off. And that kind of gets that transparency and empathy we keep talking about there.
I love that. It's just part of the process.
Tiffany, I know we had a great conversation here. We appreciate you joining in for today's episode. As we always ask here, towards the end, you know, how can we give back to Tiffany? What's important to you? How can you make sure that we're giving back based off of the gems that you've dropped for us today?
Yeah. So, it would be great. My organization, Tech Forwarder, we're always looking for volunteers, mentors, coaches. We have individuals that want to have someone that they could do mock interviews with, people that can look over their resume. So if you go to tech-forward.org, you can send us a message there if you're interested in volunteering. Again, I have a consulting company, so if you happen to know a nonprofit or a small business that is looking for some CRM, business process automation, anything like that, my organization is happy to help with that. That's Tech Forward Solutions. And other than that, please send a message if you have any questions, if you learned anything. I always love to hear that. And so feel free to find me on LinkedIn. Please connect.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Tiffany. You dropped some amazing gems, some very human gems, some very tech-focused gems there as well. That we appreciate and value. And then hope we have you back on sometime as we talk about change manager, because that's a whole new piece that I think we all feel and need to navigate. But thank you for today's conversation. Thank you for spending some time with us, and we really appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me, Myron.
Wait, friend, before you move on, take the time to gift yourself the Sea of Clarity or Community. With so many pulls for our time and attention today, one of the best gifts we can gift ourselves is a moment to simply breathe and be present. To gently process our experiences, emotions, and thoughts with grace and non-judgment. To do this, take the next 2 remaining minutes of today's episode to practice simply paying attention to yourself. Or maybe gift yourself and or others community by connecting with us online. You can thank today's guest, share your experience and lessons, or connect with others as well. To do this, go to the website c3.community or our C3 Community LinkedIn page, or of course, our YouTube channel. As always, friend, thank you for listening in and for choosing to be a part of our community. We hope you take a few precious moments for yourself. See you soon.